A DOD memo earlier this month gave defense components the go-ahead to terminate temporary hires and stop renewing term employees. Ashton Carter, the author of that memo, told Pentagon reporters on Friday that has largely happened. 46,000 temporary workers have been 46,000 temporary workers have already been let go in anticipation of sequestration, a prospect that's been hanging over the government's head for a year and a half, but one that the Pentagon apparently believes is increasingly likely. As a further way to come into line with the 9% cut in DOD's operation and maintenance accounts, Carter says career civilians would also be furloughed without pay for one day a week if sequestration happens at the beginning of March. DOD's O&M accounts are what have planners most worried right now. Unlike its procurement and R&D budgets, those funds are generally spent right away. So to comply with the across-the-board cuts, DOD has to make cuts right away. Admiral Jonathan Greener, the chief of naval operations, told sailors in Norfolk, Virginia on Friday that sequestration is not the only problem. Because the department is still operating on a continuing resolution, it expects its operation and maintenance accounts to fall short in 2013 by $4.5 billion, even without sequestration.
We need to get a bill, and in the meantime, we got to figure out how to spend less because we may not get a bill depending on deliberations. So we need to tighten the belt. Now, we've been operating this year as if we would get a bill. So we've been eating steak, and maybe we should have been eating casseroles, you know, kind of another way to, however you want to put it. And there's 7 months left in this year. 5 months have passed. So we need to tighten the belt. So we'll be doing, we're going to go where the money is, for the most part. We're going to be looking at ship maintenance availabilities. We're going to look at aircraft availabilities, maintenance, if you will. We're going to take away projects, if you will, that we would normally do on bases and all that. We're going to reduce non-deployed steaming. We're going to do other reductions in overhead.
But Greenert says if sequestration kicks in on top of a full year CR, the Navy would face an additional 4% shortfall in its O&M accounts. In the Army, the impacts to O&M would be even more severe. That service acted earlier this month to freeze civilian hiring, fire temporary workers, and draw up plans to cancel depot maintenance in the second half of the fiscal year. David Berteau is a senior vice president at the Center for Strategic and International Studies.
My numbers say the Army is going to have to take 30% of base budget O&M out in order to protect their share of OCO, and that 30% has got to come out in the last essentially 4 months of the fiscal year, because by the time you lay out furlough notices and defer contracts, you don't really see any fiscal impact until about May or so.
Berteau speaking at a CSIS forum on the future of DOD's budget and strategy. Gordon Adams, a distinguished fellow in the Stimson Center's Budgeting for Foreign Affairs program, speaking at the same forum, says the cuts DOD is making are not surprising, but they are on target, given the O&M cuts the department's facing.
And what's interesting about the Carter memos and the service memos is that they say, better set some priorities here. Term hires, stop them. New term hires, forget about it. We've got, Mike Baer estimates, 750,000, 800,000 people in the Pentagon who don't actually work for the Pentagon. They work for a contractor. And that's going to winnow down. That's going to be whittled down. If we have a sequester, it's going to be whittled down anyway. So they and civil servants, beware. Beware. Take Friday, no pay. Thank you. There will be furloughs if sequester happens. But it's not a surprising task. It's not a surprising outcome. And it's the kind of thing that I thoroughly expect to happen. Rather than furloughs, it will be attrition. And as the civilian workforce ages, there will be an acceptance of the attrition in the civilian workforce in the Department of Defense. It's very likely to be the trend here. So I found those memos actually quite interesting and mostly very much on target.
But Adams says cutting civilian workforce costs and getting rid of service contractors are emergency responses and easy answers. Chipping away at the size of DOD's O&M spending beyond the immediate fiscal crisis is going to take a Secretary of Defense and a Deputy Secretary who are fiercely committed to finding efficiencies in those broad buckets of spending, which fund everything from fuel to civilian pay to military health care to military-based landscaping and much, much more.
O&M accounts, in my judgment, are the refuge of scoundrels. They're highly fungible dollars. There's a reason why they have a different treatment in sequester than procurement or research and development. It's because it's very hard to do this at a program level in the operations and maintenance accounts. It's very hard to get your arms around what the trade-offs are. And therefore, in defense budgeting and planning over time, they have been the place where a lot of stuff gets hidden and a lot of stuff doesn't get worked out. So while I expect sequester if it happens, to focus attention on services contractors, and I expect it to focus on furloughs of civilian personnel, getting those real savings, I think, is going to depend significantly on top-down management attention and bringing the dollars down, pocketing the savings, and then enforcing the process of efficiencies.
Under sequestration, military personnel accounts are completely exempt from cuts. And according to Todd Harrison, the Senior Defense Budget Fellow at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessments, while O&M spending in DOD has been rising above the level of inflation in recent years, it's nothing like the cost growth in the military services personnel budget. That, he says, is DOD's biggest problem, at least over the long term.
If we continued allowing our personnel costs to grow at that same rate, 4.2%, like they did over the past decade, by the year 2039, those personnel costs would consume the entire defense budget. So what will happen, you've got a number of options. One option is you reduce your end strength. If you hold the military personnel share of the budget at 34%, like it is now, and you stay at your historically normal growth rate of 2.6%, you'll have to reduce your end strength by about 82,000 from the currently planned level. That's an additional reduction on top of what's already been planned. Your other option is you can reduce the rate of growth in your cost. So again, if you hold everything else constant, the share of the budget constant, if you hold your end strength level constant and you just try to reduce the rate of growth, you only have to reduce the rate of growth to 1.9%. So all the reforms that were in the last budget request would have reduced the growth rate much lower than this. So this can be done.
But it wasn't done by the last Congress. They rejected almost all of DOD's proposals to rein in personnel spending. While thinking about the DOD budget is rather bleak across the defense think tank world, given the budget uncertainty this year, there are problems to be faced even if Congress manages to pass a budget and completely cancel sequestration. Michael O'Hanlon, a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution, says given the natural tendency of cost growth in the Pentagon, DOD is almost certain to exceed the spending caps political leaders agreed to in 2011's Budget Control Act.
Right now, we're going to need additional programmatic cuts just to comply with the $487 billion in reductions that have happened so far, because we still have a plan, a program, and a force structure that's too expensive for the Budget Control Act levels. We always do. It's nothing wrong with what the Pentagon's doing today, nothing wrong with what any of you are doing compared to your predecessors. We always have a mismatch between what's in our program and our plan and what we can afford based on our projections. Or to put it differently, stuff always costs more than we think.
Even if this year's budget crises are solved, O'Hanlon says it's likely that all the military services will have to cut back on force structure.
So I think ground forces will come down. My own comfort level would be fine with something like 450,000 active duty Army and 160,000 active duty Marines. It's not comfortable. I didn't say this was going to be fun, but these are the kinds of things that I think are consistent with presidential guidance. I'm not predicting that President Obama will agree with each of these, but I think they're consistent with his view of the world and with what I think we need to do as a matter of national security policy.
Likewise, O'Hanlon says the Navy can save a lot of money by making better use of its fleet of ships, flying new crews to already deployed ships and leaving them out to sea longer. And the Air Force, he says, could cut way back on its planned purchases of F-35 fighters, using them only for high-end combat missions and buying much cheaper legacy fighters for everything else. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.